to order. Roll call.
Smith.
Present.
Miller.
Here.
Holstrom.
Here.
Cable.
Here.
Steele. Absent. Merkin.
Here.
Barnwell. Absent.
Okay. We need to review the agenda. And I would hope for a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the agenda. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Minutes? Have you all reviewed? Hopefully you've all reviewed the minutes, and I would ask if there's any corrections or addition to the minutes.
Are the minutes that are referenced here, are they the updated?
We noticed this afternoon that we did not include the conditions for the conditional use permit that we reviewed, and so we added those three conditions to the minutes.
Okay. Just for the record.
Pardon me?
Just for the record.
It's for the record.
So for the, but this PDF, this document, that's got updated?
Yes, I updated that today.
Thank you, Margaret.
You mean you updated the agenda for tonight?
No.
No, the old one.
The minutes.
This link that we're being asked to.
Motion to approve minutes?
To approve. I wanted to make sure it was the current version.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Been moved and second. Any other discussion? Hearing none. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Now, this is the part of the meeting where any members of the public that would like to bring up anything not on the agenda for tonight, you can do so at this time. Hearing none, we will move on. I believe the next thing is the urban renewal plan. Leanne?
I moved on. So everyone hopefully has a copy of my PowerPoint presentation. I'm going old school, so I'm just doing a paper copy. I'm going to walk through this because this is a little bit unique. Actually, I'm not sure. Nancy, when did you first come on the commission?
5 years ago, this December.
So this even predates, because so you've been here longer than you? Yeah.
I've been here longer than him.
So in 2010, Story County started talking about TIFing the wind farms.
Yeah.
So all the wind turbines in Story County. TIF is tax increment financing. If you want to go to the second page. What I'm before you today, I'm going to spend a few slides going over the economic development policies the Board of Supervisors adopted several years ago. And then what I'm here for, though, is to have you make a recommendation on some draft changes to our urban renewal area plan. I'll get to the projects here shortly. I want you to have a basic understanding of what the policies are that the Board of Supervisors has. So they've TIFed all the wind turbines in Story County. And better equipment, which is at the corner of 590th and Highway 30. So the base value from those properties were set at whatever value it was before construction occurred. And then each year, as the taxes are collected, Story County collects 50% of the taxes and goes into the TIF revenue funding stream. That funding stream, and that is a policy limitation the board placed on themselves. Rather than collecting 100%, they only collect 50% of that potential tax revenue. And they use that 50% to fund projects in school districts, communities, whatever, throughout Story County. There's a process, an application process, that communities and school districts use to go through. Applications are usually due the first Tuesday of July or thereabouts, depending on when the holiday is. Internally, we review them. The applicants come, they present to the Board of Supervisors. The board then amends what's called the Urban Renewal Area Plan. And it's called that because that's what the Code of Iowa defines it as. A lot of the steps, in fact, why I'm here before you tonight, is set up by the Code of Iowa. I have not been before you since this originally came through because we've not added any new properties. We're adding properties, we're adding parcels where new wind turbines are being constructed. and we're getting the tax revenue from those properties. We've added projects. So projects are those that the funding has been given to applicants. So it's a little bit unique that I come here. I like seeing you guys, but I don't.
Yeah, we understand.
So the eligibility, there are four, the policies, that first slide, say there are four types of projects: transportation, infrastructure enhancement, public land and trail improvement, communication, utility infrastructure expansion, Main Street, and town center revitalization. So the school districts, the communities, we don't even limit. Townships can apply. We don't have a limitation of who can be an applicant. Historically, it has been communities and the Coahuila Municipal School District. Has to fit in one of those four categories for a project to potentially be funded by the Board of Supervisors. Then the next slide, I'll do it this way, like Vanna. although it's two pages online. The next slide just says we will not fund private businesses, though.
Right.
It has to be a jurisdiction. It can't be a private business coming in and asking for the funding. And then the applicants are expected to have a 25% match. So if it's a $100,000 project, it's expected the community will be ponying up $25,000 at a minimum. And that is in our guidelines as well. So that's the economic development policy. Not requesting any action for you on that. That's just what sets a framework for the applicants then to bring forward projects to be potentially funded. The next slide.
Dan,
yeah.
There, if you go to the county website, and if you go under Board of Supervisors, all right, and you go down to the economic development. Click on the main thing there. And the last thing on there is the TIF issues, okay? And you can read all about this, and there are more restrictions in terms of applying. As an example, a person or a entity cannot put in more than one project for any period of time. And there's quite a few restrictions, and probably, you know, it would be good to review that type of thing. The other thing, and maybe you said it, but to determine that the tax that goes back into the county and go into the TIF funds, they take the base tax prior to the project, and then from that base tax to what it grows to, that's where the 50% comes out.
Yeah. So I'm going to follow up on that.
It's not from the beginning.
Yeah, I'm going to follow up on that. With the wind turbines, it's a little different formula. What was the valuation of the optimum winds? $1.5 million? Let's use $2 million, because I can't do math on $1.5 million. And you guys are going to have to help me, since I apparently think 1986 to 2016 is 20, and that's actually 30. So the wind turbines are valued at $2 million when they're fully constructed.
Each.
That ag land, when the properties are added to our tax increment financing district, our TIF district, say it's $3,000, because it's probably an acre and a half. We'll just say it's $3,000, be simple with math. So that's that base valuation. So year one, this is really unique too, and this was not applied to better equipment or a industrial zone piece or industrial property. This is specific for wind turbines. Year one, there's zero valuation increase. It's still at $3,000. Even if the wind turbine is constructed and it's $2 million assessed valuation. That's year zero. Year one, it becomes 5% of $2 million. What's that?
You're saying year two?
Year one. Yeah, technically it's year two, but yeah.
During the second year.
Yeah. We use year one.
Right.
So whatever that is, what'd you say it was?
100,000.
So of that 100,000 for that one wind turbine, Amelia has her calculator out. Story County takes $50,000 for taxable valuation and puts into this fund.
The other 50%
stays with the taxing entities and can be backfilled by the state.
Okay.
Year two, which is technically year three, if we're going by what we think of years, is actually 10%. And it goes over a 7-year time frame, 5% increments, it tops out 35%. So the way our, and this is state law, the Board of Supervisors had to adopt an ordinance enacting this. we will never collect 100% taxable valuation on those turbines. We'll only go at 35,000, 35%. It tops off at that. So whatever 35% is of $2 million.
That's what you base the property tax on.
$7 million.
Okay. After 7 years.
Yeah, it stays at 35%. I don't know. That'd be a state legislature question.
Oh, it's in statute?
Yeah,
it is.
You mean they'll never have
taxed
more than 35% of their value?
Yeah. There's two formulas the state code of Iowa allows, and the other one allows for full taxation, but it was to the detriment of the county to go that direction, and I don't remember why. I can do some research and get back to you, but Wayne Schurker-Author, county assessor, brought to the board when we knew this was coming down and recommended this 5% increment practice because ultimately we received more. I don't remember if it was detrimental to the school districts or what to do it the other way, but there's another mechanism that's allowed that the vast majority of counties do is 5, 10, 15, 35%. So we've actually reached the stage where up in northeast Horry County, we have 120 wind turbines hitting that 35% mark, and I'm not going to be able to get my hands on it right now. Deb, do you remember where we're getting for? Oh, here, I do have it. Our projected revenue, again, this is 50% coming in this year, is going to be $1,093,000, and we have some already committed to bonds and stuff, but ultimately in a few years we'll be collecting $1,091,090-some thousand for at least the first set of hit 35% mark. That's all the background behind TIF. It's a messy, dirty thing that I've given you TIF 101 and probably screwed something up in it, I'm sure, because basically had to relearn it every time you want to talk about it. So the next slide is the table. So I told you we have an application process. This time around, we received 4 timely applications, and then Slater actually had a computer glitch and submitted after the time frame. The board has built them into the urban renewal area plan, and this table shows the projects. I'm not going to, if you go further in the presentation, you can see each individual project. But in total project cost of those projects is $2.6 million. Requested of Story County of those 5 entities are just shy of $370,000. And then Huxley, I'll just go through this quickly. Huxley is asking for an all-inclusive playground at Nordhausen Park, and they're requesting $79,000. Cambridge is asking additional funding for the Cambridge Community Center, $50,000. Collins is asking $98,000 for demolition and revitalization of 2 buildings. There's demolition of 1 building and revitalization of another building along Main Street. Story City is looking at improvements to North Park project. This is a continuation of their Parks and Recreation Master Plan. Last year they received funding for the South Park project from the TIF funds, Urban Renewal Area funds. And then Slater is continuation of their Main Street project that they've been underway with for several years, and they're requesting $45,000. So this gets defined in the Urban Renewal Area Plan, and that is what you saw on your agenda for today, the draft plan. There are several sections that need to be amended. This is a practice we ideally go through once a year. We've already been through it once this year when we added the Iowa State Research Park. I did not come to you with that one because that was just a project. It was not adding any new properties to have the tax revenues taken from. Is that clear? Why I didn't come to you earlier? It's only when we add properties to the TIF table. So the slide that says potential amendments to urban renewal area plan. If you look through the draft plan, these are all in red underline. Red underline. I was going to say strikeouts, but that's not true. There's nothing proposed to be stricken, I remember. Then I just thought you'd be interested in seeing what the past awards had been. We've given out about $644,000 since 2013. And if we approve these projects, Story County will have granted a little over $1 million in the past 4 years for the smaller communities in Story County. Proposed schedule is the next item, but you really don't need to spend spend time on. That was just more for benefit. But your action today is a recommendation to the board approving the urban renewal area plan for Story County, specifically adding the projects and taxable properties. And the taxable properties are 7 new wind turbines under construction. And do we still think October, November for completion date?
It's all turbines?
All turbines. That's all the new properties being added to the tables.
Okay, have these wind turbines come through P&Z already?
Yeah, about 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Oh, really?
I was director at that point, so, yeah.
Because there's been a couple new ones that were just south of, like, the DuPont plant, approximately.
Yeah.
Those have been TIFFed?
Yeah, those are in the table.
Three of them.
Yeah, there's three between US 30 and Lincoln Way, and then one south of Highway 30.
Of US 30.
Yeah,
okay.
And then one to the northeast of Nevada, and then two down west of Huxley. That's the 7 new properties we have.
And they've been added to this?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, their parcel numbers. Their building on lease land parcel numbers are added to the table.
And that's what we're looking at, even though. And this has to come through us, even though it's already come through P&Z and been approved by the BOS.
This draft plan has not been approved by the board. With the strikeouts and underlines, the new language, new projects.
So in other words, after it went through P&Z, it really went through you guys before going to BOS.
This, it didn't go through P&Z. The individual approvals for the wind turbines went.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So
adding them to
it went to the Board of Adjustment.
Yeah.
And so now it's kind of gone to you.
Yep. To add to
accumulate these into this plan,
yep.
And then it's this that goes to BOS.
Yes. And again, the only time I will come before you guys, or whomever's in my position, I'll say, or manage this grant program, will be if new properties are added to the TIF districts. The projects will come and go, and you may never see any, but when new parcels are added, so if we have any new wind turbines that could possibly come in. Last year, there was a move in the state legislature to actually reduce the capability, no, not reduce, to eliminate the capability of county governments to TIF wind farms.
Really?
Yeah, and that didn't. I don't remember if it got out of conference committee, how far it got. It got out of committee, mm-hmm. but never reached level to be debated. But I think that will have a lot of legs this year. So this very well may be the last time I bring the urban renewal area plan to you to add wind farms or wind turbines unless we add additional properties.
Why is it that they want to limit the TIF?
I don't know. I think there's a lot of individuals on both sides of the aisle that think it's abused a lot. And if you look at the projects, and I'm a little bit biased, but if you look at the nature of the projects and the way we've used funding here in Story County, especially just limiting ourselves to that 50% mark, we've been very frugal with it, and we've seen a lot of positive mm-hmm. results with the projects that have been funded. Mm-hmm. But that's not a story that you can say for every entity.
Right. And then where would the funds go if they didn't go into this urban renewal?
Right to the general fund.
Okay. Right, and where does the general fund then get allocated, just to the different departments?
General fund goes for general county operating. Departments under general fund include Board of Supervisors, Auditor, Elections, Treasurer, Recorder.
Assessor.
Employees.
The assessor has their own.
Do they?
Yeah.
Most departments are.
Yeah. Let me do it the other way. The rural basic fund is where P&D is, planning development, engineering, secondary road improvements under rural services, and the secondary roads fund. Animal control and part of the sheriff's operating budget is under rural services.
Okay.
So general fund pays for, like Rick said, the library's funding. Iowa State Extension, funding to the Fair, Story County Fair Association, Historical Societies comes off, both local option sales tax and general fund. But it would just go into the coffers.
So none of it would go to the schools or the other levying authorities?
No, they still would get theirs. No, if we
didn't
say
it, they'd get more.
Yeah. Well, that's to be debated if they would get more.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering about.
Because the state actually backfills school districts.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever is taken out, the state goes back in for people and make sure that the schools are held harmless to the best of the ability. And
so that's what the legislation is
That's what?
Because they're being
Yeah, it could very well be.
What's that?
Yeah.
That's what the legislature would want to get rid of, because they're backfilling.
Well, and also part of
the advantage in the legislature's back from the state revenues.
I suspect another part of it is that the entities that have indeed, like Zeering with all the wind farms up there, okay, they would rather keep all of the tax to them as opposed to it being part of the whole county situation.
Definitely that.
Okay, so that may be part of the individual.
Right.
Cities, entities, yada yada, townships, whatever's. That may be part of their wanting to get rid of
The taxes would still be collected by the county. It's just a matter of whether the county gets to allocate some of it to TIFs for specific uses.
But without the TIF, the allocation would all go back to that as an example.
No, without the TIF, 100% of the tax would go into the county general fund. Mm-hmm. As opposed to 50% into the county general fund and 50% into the TIF. If the county couldn't designate, then that means the TIF goes away, and that means 100% of the taxes collected goes into the county, not into Zeering. It's still a county tax. It's still a county assessed tax.
Yeah.
Where have I read that the purposes of TIF, what TIF monies can be used for, are blighted areas, affordable housing, and economic development.
And I can send this to you. This is a wonderful legislative guide that the Legislative Service Bureau, Legislative Service Authority Agency, puts out.
So we need to take action on this, and we need to either approve this, Leanne, or not approved.
Approval as a recommendation, just like
recommendation.
Action. Approval. Let me just following up on Linda's question. Iowa law. I should have someone read this or hold this. Iowa law. Municipalities is defined by any local jurisdiction, city or county, to establish urban renewal areas to finance public improvements such as streets, sewers, sidewalks, and other infrastructure related to residential, commercial, industrial development, to redevelop slum or blighted areas, to fund private economic development, and to finance construction of low- and moderate-income housing.
But there's more than just the low-income housing. Did that just say private? And Story County made the rule that no private.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any.
We purposefully said that we didn't want to get into a Von Maur situation.
Hmm?
We didn't want to get into a Von Maur situation.
Or an affordable housing situation.
Von Maur, what the heck?
Von Maur used to be located in Iowa City.
Oh, the department store?
The department store of Von Maur.
Who's at the mall?
At the mall.
Okay.
And Coralville used TIF funding to bring them across the city boundaries to Coralville.
No kid.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know that one.
Yeah, it's called poaching.
Yeah.
Other communities have done it.
With TIF money.
Yes. And other incentives. Coralville.
Yeah,
other
economic incentives.
So, yes, it is
a recommendation. Policy discussion about TIF, but I did spend a whole day yesterday. I thought I understood everything about TIF, and you just pulled me out of the water on a couple of things.
You never do.
You change the rules, too.
I go back every year and read. I actually print off all the Code of Iowa stuff fresh every year. Even if I know it hasn't been changed, I err on the side of caution and print it off every year just because. And I have to read it, and I'm just like, what the heck did that just tell me? And so I go to the Legislative Service Guide and Bureau Guide.
Does anybody have any questions for Leanne on the...
I make a motion that we recommend this for approval.
A motion to recommend this for approval. Do we have a second? We now have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Is there any other information that you need to know about this before? Just that you're adding the seven properties, and it's adding that revenue to the TIF fund, and that those are the current
The only thing I'll say add is next year in May, April or May, I won't be in front of you guys, but I'll be likely in front of the Board of Supervisors again, looking at phase two of the Iowa State Research Park, the Conservation Board piece, because we bonded for $1.8 million to do the phase one project. Is a $3.4 million project, and we're going to have to go through the process again. And it was built in as a project to the TIF revenue, or the TIF urban.
That revenue wouldn't come before us because it's not adding new parcels.
But that's the only thing you might want.
Okay, these five projects, four and a half projects, whether or not you accept the one, are those based on the funds? Are those tied any way to the new properties? I mean, is this based on, is just coming out of the TIF general fund?
Yeah, and that's been a criticism that the board has heard, that majority of wind turbines and properties from which the TIF revenue is received are in Northeast Story County, yet funding is going to other parts of the county.
Central South. Mm-hmm.
And the Board of Supervisors has, the collective message has been, we view what's good for Slater as what's good for Story County, as what's good for Zerion, as what's good for Story County, and people that live at the research park aren't necessarily going to live in Ames, and we're finding the vast majority of them are actually out commuting, and if we're adding 4,000 or 5,000 new jobs to research park, we better have the infrastructure amenities to capture that workforce.
I do have a question about how effective the storefront renovation, these kind of improvements, are towards economic development of small towns. And there's supposed to be a direct correlation there. I just wonder if you know of any research, any data about that, or anything you could say about
it. It's anecdotal, it's Zerion. Mm-hmm. It's anecdotal, but it's my experience in Zerion, looking at what's happened up in Zerion, even before Dakins Lake was even on the, Dakins Lake's been on the drawing board since the 1970s. Finance, who was never there, that's proved using TIF funding in the past 4 or 5 years, but before that even, Zerion used our urban renewal area plan to do a telepharmacy. That's a big deal for a town like Zerion to have a telepharmacy. They used it for the bait shop, which is now a different business. I'm not sure what that is right now. But some of the improvements I have in downtown Zerion, I think, does show the success of it. We're starting to see that happening in Slater, too. And they have a... it's a little bit different, unique, because they have the Heart of Iowa... the Heart of Iowa Trail and the...
High Trestle Trail.
So that's a different dynamic than Zerion. Zerion has now Dakins Lake as an attraction too. But we saw it happen in Collins, funding the first round went, second round went to Collins to help with the recreation center and programming for that. For a town of Collins, where everyone had to drive to either Nevada or down to Newton to get a workout facility in, but look at the health, that public health that could be assisted by having local recreation centers.
I just wonder what the measurement is or how we look at, you know, the return on investment for the TIF dollars.
Yeah. And that's not,
it's anecdotal. We don't really have a formal way of doing that, that's what I'm hearing you say.
Well, and I think that's one of the specific reasons for something like the TIF fund, because you're funding projects that have a difficult hard dollar return on investment, or very difficult to measure, right? So you're funding things that are public goods that would be intrinsically difficult to measure. How do you measure the financial return on park equipment?
Right. It's just it's called economic development. And I'm questioning, that's just the thing to me as to whether, I don't say they're not good projects.
Right. Well, these are.
In my mind, I say, maybe that's what they're called because that's what you need with TIF dollars, but it seems like a mis.
These are urban renewal, these are not necessarily economic development.
Well, the thing is, nowadays, they're kind of correlating economic development alongside quality of life. So if you want to attract economic development, it's really essential to have, like, a base level, at least, of quality of life in certain communities. And so it is kind of a necessary piece to look at. So even though these projects, like looking at them from the outside, you're like, how does this for economic development? It's definitely there's a high correlation between that quality of life and then the economic development that can be obtained from that. So
I think that the key is to stay within the confines of what the state rules are on. You know, whether it's a park or whether it's a trail or whether it's
and I think our county confines are more stringent than
yes,
the,
they are.
Than the state. So
yeah.
let's take a vote on this, please. All in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? Carries. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, Jerry, what do we have? Oh, the special, yes. Special event ordinance.
Good job, Leanne.
Got busy tonight.
Woo!
Well, we've got three choices here. We could. I guess we can vote. Well, after me, we only have two choices. We can vote to approve this or take no action on it whatsoever.
What are we talking about?
Or vote not to approve it.
The item is a special events ordinance.
Were you here last time?
Okay.
Did you introduce talked about this?
He informed me it was two times ago.
Oh, what
yeah,
was
it? A couple months ago.
See, oh, was it? And I thought it was last month.
It was just last
month.
But anyway.
No, I was. Yeah, was, that would have been June meeting, and I was.
You were gone. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, have you reviewed this? Has everybody reviewed this?
Yep.
Do we want to discuss it? Do we want to take action on it? We want to make it go away.
What are we being asked to do?
Okay, this is a. Should I just introduce what it
yep.
is? Okay, special events ordinance. There was a draft that was before you a couple of months ago, and this is part of our work program activity
right.
that staff is to bring forward to the zoning commission and then ultimately to Board of Supervisors for action. Currently, the only thing that we have in our land development regulations is something that would require a conditional use permit involving. Music events, sporting, entertainment, religious activities. Since I've been here, I don't know that we've had any such applications. But anyway, we do have a mechanism in case we do get a request to review it. So the idea behind this is that this would be a standalone ordinance separate from the land development regulations, and it would likely replace what we have in the land development regulations that are currently covered under the CUP for, again, music, sporting, entertainment, things that are large activities that have a huge or a significant impact to the property, to a neighborhood, to the transportation network where you've got noise, light, mm-hmm. activities that could be something that could be a single day, multiple days, over a weekend, whatever.
So by nature, I'm looking at the definition. This is a special event, meaning temporary, and then there's... some given some other information about
right.
that. So and the CUP is for something that's regular, long-term?
Well, it says temporary. It's a temporary CUP. Activity. Mm-hmm. But it could be something that's for several hours.
I'm talking about the current, the existing CUP.
Right.
Right?
Where it is temporary.
Because the only place that that's referenced of a special event is in the matrix, the chart here. It's got a one-liner. And I asked Jerry, when did that get added to that matrix? And why it was added.
Okay, so this is to allow special events as defined to be able to avoid the CUP process. They can apply, get a permit.
Potentially streamline the process. This
so that it's
this version has
it, process turnaround.
It identifies what types of activities we're looking at, primarily the things that have greater impact to a site, to a neighborhood, where there is more potential for noise, dust.
And you're comfortable with the restrictions and the things as outlined?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
I think as from a staff perspective, we are. You need to converse with the other commissioners.
I missed the previous discussion,
right.
So I'm just
yeah,
kidding.
This would never come, a special event would never come before P&Z Commission.
Right.
Never.
Well,
it's
in the,
only,
per, In the first version, there was a process for the larger ones to go before P&Z, before ultimately ending up at the staff level for review and then ultimately issuing. Largely what we heard was that there was interest in creating a situation where we're primarily focusing on larger activities instead of smaller activities. There was some discussion about, you know, like family gatherings. Do we want to regulate those types of things? So we did put that in there. You know, if there's no remuneration, maybe that's something that we don't want to regulate. This is a draft.
Okay. Can I ask you, Jerry, how about a farm sale?
Do they need one?
Well, and you, I can tell you.
Money changing hands.
You bet your boots.
Yeah. I don't think that's the intent behind that. That could be definitely something that could be something that would be opted out or exempted. When I at Polk County, we didn't regulate farm sales. We didn't regulate farm progress show. Those are things that were not addressed.
Did this even exist?
You missed it on one.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because without some type of way to look at something constructively, there. You know, because a lot of these things do impact roads. If you're doing a road race, if you don't have something in place to provide reasonable measures,
I don't want to rehash. I'm opening the can of worms. What are we being asked to?
Well, on. You know, I think looking at the first version to this version, are we going down the right path of you know what we want to try to regulate? Yeah. Again, the one of the things I heard is what types of things do we want to regulate, so we added some information about that on the first page. We increased the threshold from, we were talking about groups of 50, now we're talking about groups of 250 or more.
Up to or?
250 or more.
Is where you're requiring.
Right, where a permit would be required.
Okay.
Change some of the exemptions, we can add exemptions. There was discussion like VFW or maybe where there's auditoriums where schools, I don't think we have schools to worry about, but where they, through the capacity of the building, through the capacity of the site and the on-site parking, I think from a staff perspective, we were thinking those are things that we didn't really see the need to have a special event for, provided that they're being taken care of by another organization within the building.
If you have a building or a location, and you're using that building or location for its designated purpose, why we wouldn't need to permit that?
Correct.
I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
Right. So that we've taken out. Streamlined the process. Now these will primarily be administrative review. Will be involving the county departments, other departments, fire chiefs, emergency management, conservation.
And you guys are other organizations. You guys are having your weekly meetings now, and so if you've got an application, you just take it and get everybody at that meeting.
Right. Well, we're asking
to streamline the process.
Right. We're asking for a 30-day window, but that can be changed. And then we would give these internal departments, other organizations, 3 days to review, respond, provide input, conditions, concerns, and then. But ultimately, it would be the director, moi, that would have the authority or to actually, issue the permit. If it's denied, there's an appeals process.
That 30 days, I'm just wondering if you want to say that the approval process or something can take up to 30 days. I don't.
But it has to be submitted. It has to be submitted 30 days in.
Well, and.
So it says.
Mm-hmm. I think administratively, if it was 3 weeks before the event, and if we could review it, we would review it. I can tell you that.
Right, but if somebody, okay.
How about 1 week before the event?
No, I'm trying to get away from is the idea that
hard and fast deadline.
The hard and fast deadline. If somebody comes in and maybe it's something that was unplanned or they didn't. You know, somebody comes in and they're turning in the application, like you said, 3 weeks instead of 30 days.
Right.
Right. Are we gonna but it's a simple one, or it's not a simple one. Are we going to automatically reject it because it doesn't come into that 30 days?
It wouldn't be my choice. It wouldn't be my preference. We try to work with people when we can, and that would be, we would work very hard to try to get it reviewed and get comments back.
Jerry got comments from other people outside our commission.
Good.
What kind of comments did you get?
They don't want to see this at all.
For what type of use?
Any.
They don't want a special use permit for anything.
For agriculture-related uses?
They just don't want. They just don't want. Basically, they just don't want any part of this. And probably part of the reason they haven't read it and don't understand it. I just don't know if we've got enough exemptions in there yet. I do think farm sales should be exempt.
So my question to you, and I totally understand the, I don't want more government, right? I don't want more regulations. I don't want
more
permits, I don't want that. But if this is a process that's better, faster, easier than the existing CUP process.
You're talking about a two-month process, probably.
Right.
I'm not talking about my opinion. I'm talking about the opinions of people that called me about it.
Right. And part of it is, like you said, though, maybe did they read through?
Probably have never read it.
Right.
They just see this special event permit and they don't want to have it.
Right. No. I don't want to have to have a special event.
Yeah. And probably in most cases, you know, from an administrative standpoint, these things are not, I mean, to deny one, it's going to be probably 90% approval with.
Well, but I think the flip side to this is you have somebody that has an event where there's 300 people and 150 cars and something's happening, and then there is something that happens. The county needs a recourse to be able to have some sort of legal footing for enforcement. And so if they've gone through the permit process and they're abiding by the permit process, then there are guidelines and people will, somebody has an event, right? Somebody has a rock concert on a farm. And they didn't get a permit, what's the county going to do? If there's no regulation, if we just say we're not going to require anything.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Right? So I want to be as accommodating as possible.
So what do you think about this farm sale? I had two or three people ask me about farm sales. Should they have to get
I don't go to farm sales. I grew up in Southern California, so I'm uninformed on this.
They typically last more than 2 days, a lot of times.
They could last at least 2 days, and you could have more than 250 people there.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying one
way or
the
other.
I'm just asking for your opinion. Do you think they should be exempt, or do you think they should have to get a special?
Well, doesn't it say in here, Jerry, under exemptions, the authority to determine whether a special event is exempt from requirements is up to that guy right there.
Well, we can say, so, not needed, thanks for calling.
There's the exemption. Farm sale to be okay in Sally's farm.
Right. Jerry seems to probably think that farm sales are exempt.
I can tell you that's not
anyway.
If we,
no, I know you don't, but let's say
Future
director.
Yeah, the next
director.
Next guy comes. Or if it's something that needs to be the exemption. Let's put
in Bahamas again.
If we have this in place, does that subject the county to potential liability if it is not enforced A, B, C, D, E?
Yeah, it needs to be objective.
But you see what I'm saying? Just like you said, that if you had 150 cars sitting around and something happened, okay, and let's say that they did follow this, does that subject the county to liability?
Part of the review of this will involve what we did in Polk County was most of these all went through, and it was an administrative, but it was also a board of adjustment process, and the staff actually did do like a site review, and we had site plan requirements, and so we made sure that site plan, you know, the setbacks, and if they were to have potable water, that they had all that stuff, or toilets, whatever it was, we made sure that those things were in place before actually handing them.
I haven't been to a farm sale in a while. Do they have porta potties? Typically, cabos?
And that's the other thing. I mean, you're bringing all these people to whatever it is, and sometimes they don't think of, you know, drinking water or places to go to the restroom or whatever, you know, whatever their needs might be. And so that's part of the benefit of this, is we're going to be asking them to think about those things.
How much is the fee going to be?
I'm thinking nominal.
And how much is the penalty going to be if they don't?
Yeah, and again, we've got to go through the review through the county attorney's office, which we have not done yet.
So you're asking for your feedback. You're getting feedback.
Right.
So I think you're going in the right direction. I think we want to, especially in Story County, we want to think these are permits for county-governed activities, right? Not things that happen inside municipalities. So
right.
It's
unincorporated
areas.
Right.
You know, we want to provide protection to the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking the orchard, right? What is it?
The what?
Center Grove Orchard. Right. So we want to try and find a balance between protecting the neighbors versus not inhibiting people's.
But the Civic Grove Orchard, you're talking about the one that's got the train and all this good stuff.
Right.
That's a permanent facility. That's not a special event.
Special event might be the dog show or the music.
They add things to the primary.
But that was all included and specified in the.
Nope. We said no to the dog show, and we said no outdoor loudspeakers and.
Actually, the dog show
got
approved.
Well, the dick show might have got approved.
Got approved.
The issue with the dog show was the loudspeakers and the noise, right? And so that got addressed. They wanted to bring in some music with loudspeakers and stuff that would require a special event.
What are you thinking for?
Right. So this is the point I'm making, right? We're trying. I don't want to. Okay. You're headed in the right direction.
But then the other thing is to remember, you're not going to please, you're never going to please 100% of the people 100% of the time.
Right, but I think we have valid points. You're talking unincorporated areas, which means you're talking mostly farms.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right, so let's make sure that I don't know how you define it. Thankfully, my job is just to say yes or no.
Could I get a motion to that effect that we're heading down the right path, and then we will definitely bring back the third version?
This is their work. This is part of their work thing. They need
consensus.
Yeah, I'd love to get. This is the 2016 work program. We have a lot of things to do for 2017. And
I think just having it in the minutes that we feel we're going down the right road is enough. I don't think we can make a motion.
Yeah, okay. I agree. I'm not in favor of it whatsoever. I think it ought to be just thrown out. I mean, we're in the unincorporated area. You're going to be at farms, you know, and the...
I think it's necessary.
Unless it's in your right next to your property.
Yeah. We're talking about a four-hour event. We're talking about a two-day farm sale. I'm going to go over there.
What if it's all week long?
For sure.
Fine.
But
it's 1 week out of 52.
Three-day rock concert.
Mm-hmm. Here's my question.
What about the bed and breakfast situation?
Why not?
They're currently covered by the CUP, though.
They're very specific. It says, where is it?
But that says it needs a conditional use permit. It's toward the top.
Music, sports, entertainment, religious. So if it's not one of those things, if you are creative enough and come up with something that's not one of those things, then you don't need a CUP.
But it's temporary facilities.
So that's why the beauty of this is we're going to be capturing more things potentially.
Jerry, say that again. What are the regulations?
Specifically address music, sports, entertainment, and religious activities. So if
they don't need a permit, or they do?
They do.
They do. Okay.
They need a CUP.
Okay.
CUP.
But you're going to do something that's not...
Events,
so that's covered already then, like band event or what do you call it?
Right, but if you have, say, a wedding venue, let's talk about the bed and breakfast that was looking to potentially do a venue at their site, and you obviously heard the next door neighbor was concerned because they're like, you know, if you're bringing a bunch of people in here, like 250 plus, it could potentially get a little tricky because you might be holding an event every weekend over the summer. So that's, I guess, my concern, of course, in terms of trying to move this forward, is to protect folks, you know, where at least you know, they would have to adhere to certain standards then. Because think if you have 250 people out at this venue and, you know, there's not proper access to get emergency vehicles into that space.
You've got 100 cars parking out.
Yeah, it
could be a nightmare.
It can get real tricky. Yeah. So at least this allows for a little bit.
That bed and breakfast. Remember this, the mom and dad didn't want what the son wanted.
Right.
And
but
so
I'm just saying for the
that.
Future to have something like this in place for
yeah, they did.
For a situation like that if it were to arrive.
I thought that was hilarious.
I agree with what Lisa is saying. So, thinking about, you know, people just parking on both sides and shoulders of a gravel road and fire breaks out.
Yeah.
Try to get fire trucks through there.
So,
you know, there's lots of reasons. There are lots of reasons to regulate something like that.
So I'd like to, in order to move this forward and in order to make Jerry happy, I'd like to make a motion.
Thank you.
That we endorse or provide guidance to planning to the department staff that the special events ordinance second draft is heading in the right direction, that we would like to see this stay as close as possible to a replacement for the requirements for a CUP.
For a temporary event.
For, well, as outlined, but...
But don't need a CUP.
But meeting, as a replacement, meeting the... as a replacement for the conditions requiring a CUP.
Do we need a public hearing on this?
Or does the Board of Supervisors determine?
There's a motion. There's a motion, so...
This is just a draft.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
A second.
We have a motion second. Is there any further discussion? Do we want to do a roll call or can we just do it by aye?
Let's do a roll call.
Okay.
Merkin?
Yes.
Holstrom?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Miller?
No.
Cable?
Yes.
No, because I don't think it's needed whatsoever.
It'll be coming back.
I would worry about a rock concert.
Okay, so I carried...
And these times, yes.
I mean, I wouldn't be going
the,
there.
The reason I know that you're...
I wouldn't be going, but...
You don't think it's necessary. What I'm saying is I want to replace...
I want to replace
the CUP. So rather than somebody coming before us to say, I want to have a wedding on my farm or I want to have a concert on my farm, mm-hmm. right? They just go through a permit process. We don't have to approve it. The CUP process takes like 2 months.
I want that whole line struck in from the matrix. I don't think it needs to be even a consideration to get a CUP.
That's what I'm saying is I don't want it to be a CUP.
But I don't think we need rules for special events.
Okay.
Okay, that's why, you know, I don't know
we,
how
that's
that line.
We disagree, then.
I don't know how that line got on that matrix.
Right.
I want to know that.
We're past. Hey, we're past this. Let's move on.
All right. Well, wait for Jerry. Jerry, lead us on.
All right. Oh, here we go.
We got more.
All right. We got a presentation.
Presentation.
All right.
Where are we at?
Comparison of business.
I'm waiting for Jerry.
Farm retail or novelty regulation.
Yeah, this is another work program item. We're to compare farm retail novelty with. Right. And Amelia is helping us go through this review.
Is this for information only, or are we going to need to take any action on this?
Similar to the previous item, we would like some direction. Hopefully, you're in support of what you see and hear and. Our analysis of what we prepared.
Yeah. So, like Jerry said, we are looking at home business permits and farm retail and novelty permitting processes. We kind of thought that these two things could be compared in the one work program because they're both commercial activities that are accessory to a primary use. But really, they're more apples and oranges than apples to apples because far retail and outlet uses, like we just discussed, have the potential to generate a greater number of people and thus impact on a neighborhood or surrounding area. So it's important to compare these two processes because they are different processes for approval of a permit. And by looking at several different areas, including definitions, intent, the process of approval, and standards for approval, we can figure out where they differ and figure out where we can improve efficiencies in both of these processes to ensure we allow for commercial activity in the county while protecting the rural character of the county. So that's what we're going to do today. So the definitions compared. Farm retail and novelty uses is considered a commercial activity but has the additional requirement that it be related to a current farming operation or the culture or practice of agriculture. This is similar to the home business definition where it's a commercial activity and it's accessory to the use of a dwelling. So the process and standards for approval. Farm retail and novelty permits are approved through the conditional use permit process. As you guys know, there are five general standards in this process that look at the compatibility of a proposal with the surrounding area, transition into the surrounding area, traffic, parking and loading, signs, and lighting, and environmental protection, with the overall goal of looking at the compatibility with the surrounding area. And home business permits, on the other hand, have their own standards for approval that are not part of the conditional use permit process. So the process is, for a conditional use permit, which is required for farm retail and novelty, you do conceptual review, planning and zoning commission, major recommendation, and then the final approval is with the court of adjustment. However, with the home business permit process, the director reviews the application, planning and development director. There's limited routing to other departments as necessary. And then the final approval is also with the director. The main contract between these two processes besides who's involved, where it's routed, is the time that it takes. So at minimum, conditional use permit process might take 5 weeks with this new conceptual review weekly process that we're doing. But the home business permit generally takes a week at maximum for approval. Application requirements compared, you can kind of go over this quickly. There are clearly a lot more application requirements involved with conditional use permit, including site development plan, site context plan, whereas home business requires site plans showing the business layout in the home. Both require a narrative, but the conditional use permit process, it requires two different applications. So one is that conceptual review application, and then one is the final complete conditional use permit application after it's gone through conceptual review. So standards for approval, these are the standards laid out in those processes that staff and boards would look at. So in terms of parking standards for approval on farm retail and novelty, the conditional use permit requirement, process just makes us look at adequate off-street parking and ingress and egress and screening of the parking area. Home business is heavy. A lot of permits require many more standards to be met. You can see that no more than two service vehicles parked outside, and service vehicles parked outside cannot be visible from right-of-way in an A1 zone district. They must be fully enclosed in a building in R1, R2, and AR districts. They cannot generate traffic excess of typical single-family dwelling uses, and they cannot. They must meet land development regulations for parking and circulation standards. In terms of the impact on the surrounding area and standards for approval regarding these impacts, farm retail and novelty must be compatible with surrounding properties and provide transition to surrounding properties. Home businesses, on the other hand, cannot create nuisance conditions, cannot have outdoor storage, are limited to one accessory building for the home business use, and also are limited in there. They cannot diminish neighboring property values. That's another standard for approval. So again, home business permit process requires more. Other standards, these are just some general other standards. Farm retail and novelty site land development regulations, sign and lighting standards must be met. There's also a requirement that environmental and visual resources are safeguarded. On the home of this site with the same requirements of sign and lighting standards. You also have requirements about the area of the use in the home cannot exceed 49%, the business area cannot exceed 49% of the home, and you have requirements on one member of the family living in the dwelling must be employed in the home business, and additionally, only one person who does not live in the dwelling can be employed in the home business. So here's their conclusion. The intent and the vote and outcome of both processes is supporting and allowing for commercial activity in the county. However, home business permits, as you saw, must meet more stringent and specific standards when compared to farm, retail, and novelty uses. And what we found is these having established specific and in some cases numeric standards for approval on for home business permits can actually create a more efficient review process. Recall how it takes less time, less applications for a home business permit when in comparison to a conditional use permit. And so they also provide more transparency in the process for the applicant of what's required and necessary and for staff. So this also helps with resource use, not just time, but resources from the applicant and the staff. So established standards for the scale and scope of retail and novelty farms would be more effective than the conditional use permit process that they currently go through. It would clarify expectations for the applicant if there were specific standards for farms, retail, and novelty. It would assist in review, knowing that there were specific standards. It would assist with time and resources expended. So I think the results of this comparison demonstrate the need for more specific regulations on commercial activities on farmstead or rural settings regarding farms, retail, and novelty, our current definition. And this will just allow us to promote agriculture and associated activities in a more integrated manner with the surrounding of the county, with surrounding areas of the county. Questions, comments?
So the direction is to go to a permit, a staff issued permit, rather than coming to a conditional use permit from the farm group?
For which one?
The farm, retail, and novelty. Is that what I'm hearing?
Not necessarily.
Maybe, but not necessarily.
We'd be open to discussion of that.
Okay.
The biggest point really is that with the home business permit application process, we have clear rules and regulations. With the retail novelty farm regulation, it's primarily just a broad definition where you apply the CUP criteria to it. And you know, from a review, from an administrative standpoint, it's when you're reviewing these things, it's just real apparent with working with the applicants that they know what the expectations are up front. That you know they can have two service work-related vehicles, that they're not supposed to increase traffic to levels beyond what you would have in a dwelling for that neighborhood.
That's the home business.
For home business, right? You can't have outside storage. And if it's being run in accordance with the regulations, most of your neighbors probably aren't even going to know that it's happening. So,
it's not going to bother anybody.
Right, it's not going to really affect anybody. So I think we're trying to demonstrate that similar regulations may be needed going forward, especially when you look at other farm retail novelty uses that have been permitted and have expanded and have gone way to...
How many farm retail or novelty businesses do we have?
Total, I don't know. Total, since I've been here, there's been at least a couple, two.
Who besides?
Well, that? Center Grove and the one that...
DeMoss has one.
Yeah, Pumpkin.
Is DeMoss's conditional use permit?
Yeah, conditional use permit review.
I don't remember that one.
DeMoss is on... Is that 190? Not 190.
It's the road that goes to Gilbert.
170.
What do they do?
Matthews Road that runs through Gilbert. They're west of George Washington Harbor.
Yeah. That's the pumpkin farm.
Yeah.
they sell produce and honey and stuff out of there. And
is the strawberry patch grandfathered?
Strawberry patch is over by Nevada, kind of like south of Nevada.
Yeah, but is it grandfathered in?
I don't know.
We'd have to look into it. I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I've never dealt with it. I've had nobody's called about it.
They go
nobody's
great strawberries.
About it.
Well, there's
oh,
the,
no.
There's also the Christmas tree farm.
Yeah,
farm.
Yeah,
they
are too. But I think
Stroutman's.
The probability of them being grandfathered in other words, they existed prior to any codes.
Stroutman's has been around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
What type of regulations would you put
yeah.
on
I know,
farm
I'm surprised I
novelty?
One,
I mean, I'd like to see what that was going to be.
Yeah, well, that's actually, Jerry, a separate item. That's item 8 on our work program, retail and novelty farm regulations, review definition, and CUP process.
Right.
Okay.
And so this is just a separate, we were asked to compare retail farm novelty with home business. And like Amelia said, it's kind of a apples and oranges situation.
So my viewpoint after hearing this and hearing going through too many discussions about farm retail novelties are it would be fantastic to make that process simpler by being able to put more numeric definitions around it.
I think with the... Sorry.
No, that's fine. No.
Do you see that as a standalone ordinance or through the CUP process?
I would see updating the CUP being beneficial to provide more clear guidance. I see that. I say that, and I think that's a fantastic idea, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
You're
with us.
And I say that. I know. I say that.
You're getting your resignation next month.
No. So
you got to
say that. I say that because home business is a lot more easily defined, right? You're
right.
Saying you're running a business in your home. You can only use up to this much of your...
People know
if
what
we
the
tried
expectations
to,
are.
This is why it's apples and oranges, right? If we tried to say you can only employ so many people,
one
or you
person,
can only use so much space of your farm, or you can only that's ridiculous. And the breadth and depth of the different types of farm retail novelty activities is, you know, Christmas tree farms, strawberry patches.
We really haven't got into novelty
pumpkin
yet.
Farm.
I'm not sure what that is, but
right.
Somebody's going to bring something that's novel that we're going to have
right.
to look at.
So, well, I think Center Grove Orchard probably is getting pretty close to, but
it's a connection to ag.
But
well,
you're trying to make their case for them. I think but
it's already been made.
Some of them are stretched, but I agree. I think it would be everything would be fantastic to have.
Yeah,
I think it would be fantastic and beneficial to have an effective review of the CUP standards.
In other words, cut and dry.
We're not going to be able to make
details.
It cut and dry, but I think
it's more guidance.
I think
kind of
even if it's just more guidance, right?
Yeah.
Not more restrictions on the CUP.
Either do it or don't.
But more guidance
mm-hmm.
Included. In the process would be beneficial.
I think I agree with Mark. I just don't think it's going to be so black and white.
No,
Ruth, you wanted to say something.
Yeah.
Well, I just know, just because agritourism is a continually growing part of the economy now, that I think this is good to look at this because I think it's only going to become...
Yeah, we're not going to see less of it.
No, we're not going to see less of it, yeah. So I think having something in place is going to be beneficial in the long term for Story County because this is, with Center Grove Orchard, you know,
as an example,
I think this is only going to become more frustrating if we don't have something more standard or structured in place.
Is there anything in the C2C plan relative to agribusiness?
There was something
related to agricultural tourism, the shore and potential partnership.
Okay. All right. So maybe there's an opportunity in revisiting the CUP to say what does the CETC have, or is there a way forward with implementing that strategy in relation to clarifying our CUP? Maybe there are other counties or other entities that have a better handle on this, or you know, a clearer way forward.
Do you remember, was that immediate or medium? Oh, good.
I think it's a few things that are all within a zero or 2 years.
Look it up.
Well, I don't think that we put off this year's work product for working on the CUP because the C2C strategy is a longer term. I think we can piggyback one on the other, and we don't put it off.
It's a candy banging on the table.
We'll look at it.
Well, you know, I would like to see streamline the process for farm novelty. Be somewhat like the home business. I think that would be a great thing. But until I see what you come up with, I wouldn't say I'm approving it.
Still be a CUP?
That's why I said good luck.
So you like maybe it's on a standalone?
Yeah, come up with something.
I mean, I
make it simple and straightforward.
We have specific standards.
It's going to grow. It's something that's going to continue.
And it's a permitted use in certain districts is the way home businesses are handled. But there's an application. It's reviewed internally. And then if it meets the requirements, it's issued. And then it's an annual permit that we review, which we may be shifting from an annual review.
No.
And just a one-time issuance, provided that, you know, if there's no concerns from neighbors, then it just continues on.
Now, the novelty farm down there, it didn't change zoning, did it?
No.
It stayed the same zoning.
Right.
Right? So, therefore, as long as it didn't change zoning, then it could be structured to fall within the similarity with a home business. The permit.
Except it's nobody's home.
No.
Well,
that's
they have
not
a lot more employees because in the home business you have
process. Yes. The fall in line, same line as the process of permitting it, just like we permit the home business.
Yeah, you'd have to have very narrow and strict definitions around the farm retail or novelty to a degree where somebody could walk in and provide here's you know all of that.
Jerry, but somebody want to do something we've never thought of.
Yeah.
If somebody comes to you and wants to do a home business and you deny it, do they have any recourse?
I think there's like an appeal process. I don't know if we've ever denied one.
Well, we don't.
Okay. Get denied for
yeah, we recommend, actually, right? We don't
that's
actually
true.
Approve.
Yeah, that's true. We're not.
So all we're doing is making recommendations. If the Board of Supervisors denies, exactly. then there is recourse there.
But the home business doesn't go before the Board of Supervisors.
Right, it's just a permit.
If staff deny the home business permit, what's the recourse?
That was my question.
Okay.
What's your question?
I'm just wondering if there was some recourse.
But in terms of the requirements that must be met for a home business, they're pretty stringent, as was pointed out. They're pretty stringent. So perhaps we could have a stringent set of things for the novelty, yada yada. So it's just a permit as opposed to going through a CUP.
I agree, and I think Jerry's up to the challenge.
Yeah.
He's going to always have to have clear guidelines on
and white out that
one. Put some limited variety potential things coming.
Make it a permit. I vote for that. Make it a permit.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if it's addressed, Jerry. I mean,
Jerry, have you gotten the feedback that you're looking for on this?
I think so. We'll take a motion if you're so inclined to give us a motion.
No, I've spent my motion.
Okay. Anybody else a motion?
Can I make a motion that the planning department or Jerry look at creating more stringent or structured standards? Kind of taking this from a CUP to more of a permitting process.
Structure.
Yes. Is that okay?
No, I'll second that one.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? I would just say, you said more stringent. Is that what you said, Ruth?
not more stringent, more structure.
More structure.
More definition.
Okay. Yeah.
All
right. Instead of it being so...
Okay.
And you also said to move it to a permitting process.
Right, instead of the...
A conditional...
Instead of a conditional use permit.
Correct.
Permitting. Staff permitting process.
Correct.
Yes. No, that's too much? Too much.
Well, I'm
going to vote no. You have a motion.
That would be a big change from how we do it now.
Okay.
Because right now it's a CUP process.
Well, okay, so there's been a motion and it's been seconded.
But now we're over here for the discussion.
Right,
discussion.
Okay. So we're in discussion.
We're here waiting
for
the
vote. For the vote.
Okay.
Why would you vote no?
Or you
I would vote no because I don't know that we're ready to say it should go to a staff permitting process.
Okay.
And I also think that there are so many things that can come up. We don't know what the next project that somebody's going to bring up is.
Okay. So
that's why.
Well, you want to allow a revision to the amendment?
Well, I would just think that this we're not. I don't think. I don't think we're voting here to give staff
authority
to issue a permit on a farm novelty. Are we?
Right, but we're giving.
Aren't we
asking?
Aren't we just
guidance.
Trying to develop
right.
a standard?
I see giving guidance and feedback, and I don't know if it requires a motion.
It probably wouldn't.
Okay.
As long as it's in the minutes.
As long
are you,
as long as
are you
the
more
minutes.
Comfortable with a motion?
There is a motion.
I am, but it.
Okay.
There is a motion.
Any guidance you guys
are going to do
with
the motion?
Well, it's pretty good.
She can withdraw her motion if she wants to.
Can we revise the motion?
Or you can just withdraw it, too.
You can withdraw it. But if you want to keep it, that's fine. I mean, we're going to vote on it unless you withdraw it.
I can revise it. Kind of.
That's up to you.
What you could do to be clean and be withdrawn and make another motion.
That way, this one's on the floor.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and withdraw that previous motion.
Would you withdraw the second?
I'll withdraw the second.
Okay. There's no more motion on the floor. Start over. I think we're in agreement that we'd like to see this move forward, like to see what staff comes up with.
Better structure definition.
Yeah.
I would also add, though, that I'm not... I disagree with the idea of moving this to a permit process. I not that I like the CUP process, but for the scope of things that it deals with, I still think it's the right process.
Well, at the same time, the scope of what a home business can be is pretty broad also.
No.
It's pretty limited in terms of impact.
It can be a wide variety of things,
yes.
But it's absolutely limited in scope.
Okay, but the same thing with the novelty farm, yada yada, can be limited in scope also.
It could be, but look at the difference between Strawberry Patch or Stroutman Farms or DeMoss Farms in Center Grove Orchard. That's nearly an industry.
May not build too.
Right. Those are widely different in scope. The number of people that they employ,
well,
the number of cars that are in and out.
How about if there's a... Here's what we have to do for permit. If it extends beyond, here's what we can do for permit, then it's got to be a conditional use.
Yeah, I think we have that right here. The special events. I think for a temporary thing, for if you're talking about a long-term business being run on a farm as a retail or novelty farm-related activity.
That wouldn't be this, though.
No, I know. That's what she's. Well, that's what I'm saying is that by going to a permit for that takes those things out of the CUP, and then that leaves the CUP really dedicated to just farm retail and novelty activities. I want to see those.
I would like to see Jerry come up with something for both. See if it's even possible to move it to a permit as opposed to
that's what
a CUP.
That's all what right. Jerry's going to do.
Okay.
All right. You can define it in such a beautiful way that we're good with
yeah,
the
got you to work that out for you, honey.
We need, let's move on if we can.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, we got an appointment.
We got an appointment to be a member to confine animal feeding operation.
Didn't we have a volunteer for
well,
that?
Well, we did.
We did.
Karna Barnwell agreed to do it, but she is she's going to be leaving the Planning and Zoning Commission. She's moving from Story County to Boone County.
Oh, that's right.
So the charge is to have somebody on the Planning and Zoning Commission serve on the internal CAFO committee that the county has. So this is something that you can think about if you want, and we can bring it up.
Remind us of what it is.
Yes, exactly.
There's a application process through the state, and the county participates through adopting an ordinance. I'm not going to remember all the details, but we, through this ordinance, indicate that we want to be actively involved in reviewing these applications. Mm-hmm. Applications are weighted.
Confined animal feeding program, that means
like a hog farm,
hog
yeah.
feed,
hog
farm.
As an example,
whatever they are,
turkeys,
cows. There's a certain threshold.
Yeah,
is it
a thousand
people,
yeah.
1,000 units or something?
It's a varying, yeah.
But
the scale.
It gives us some authority to weigh in on an application, to provide, you know, the analysis of it, conditions of it. I mean, ultimately, I think the state DNR has the ultimate authority to approve or deny, but we have, through this process, the right to review and provide input in the process. So that's basically what it is.
Wasn't there a hog farm, hog confinement farm, that was wanting to be accomplished east and south of approximately where that campground is? Okay.
Excuse me, ma'am. You're on border. Trying to find some. We don't care about that right now. We're trying to. We just need to have somebody volunteer, or whoever doesn't come to the next meeting will get appointed.
My point was that went to the state and then the county didn't. They said we don't have to deal with it.
I understand that.
Since I've been here, we've had one application that we reviewed. We don't get a lot of them,
right?
But I think Margaret said as the hog and cattle prices go down, then there's more potential for siting new facilities, something to that effect.
Well, can we do this next month?
You can. It's something that you can think about.
Think about it.
Okay. And if somebody volunteers, that's great. Otherwise,
I think we volunteer Aaron.
Woo-hoo-hoo! There we go.
If you take a vote,
he's more involved.
He's in.
He's more involved.
All we need is a vote.
Than anybody else.
I don't want to lose him.
Quit. Back down, man. Back. Let's take this up. We also will have a vacancy to fill.
They're trying to fill that now.
Yeah. On the commission.
When is she moving?
Well, effective at the end of this year, but I think there's interest on her behalf to try to find somebody.
I think her communication was if somebody could come in sooner. That
we do have information on the website that we have a vacancy, and so we're taking applications. Have we received any, Deb? Do you know? Okay. So we are reviewing right now.
I'll put the word
applications.
Yeah.
Is there any other business? Any other business we need to discuss this evening?
Okay.
If not, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second. I'm sorry to get out of
here.
But
I just
you know what?
Moving.
You know,
way to go.